This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
And now we have Suzanne Shaunty, who's the director of Melbourne Opera's Norma.
And sorry you had to follow Jessie's girl.
I've been trying to think of something funny to say and it's eluded me completely, but it is an extraordinary segue. And Rick Springfield.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you know he was Australian?
Yes.
Oh, you did.
I haven't thought about Rick Springfield for many years, but I do actually know that, yeah.
Well, let's move on to another iconic lady, Norma.
Yeah.
But first of all, as you may know, you've probably been on the show a few times.
Yeah.
We like to talk about our artists' histories.
Yep.
And I'm sure you've probably said many different anecdotes, but you can choose your own adventure and tell us about how you got started in the arts.
Oh, well, look, it's funny, I actually told this story to one of the cast members the other day because he said to me, how did you end up a director, Suzanne? And I said, well, it kind of found me. I came from a relatively theatrical family. My grandmother was a pianist. My grandfather was a kind of local tenor doing the rounds of small gigs. And I had an uncle who was very big in writing musicals and worked for Grundy's as an executive producer. And I kind of felt like entertainment had been done in the family. And I was thinking I was going to be something like a journalist or a diplomat or something serious like that. And I toddled off to Melbourne Uni after school without having done a lot of... I'd seen and been exposed to so much theatre all my life, but I hadn't actually done a lot of theatre personally until I got to uni, because I set myself this heavy task of learning two languages and doing all these kind of hefty English subjects, got to the end of first year and went, I don't want to do that. And the only kind of in-between subject in those days that I could pick up was a drama subject, and I got put with an extraordinary group of artists, people like Magda Zabanski and Santo Chilara. We were all at university at the same time,
awesome,
doing this course, yep, at the same time. And I was chosen to direct, possibly because I couldn't act, and did a short Edward Elby play, and everyone said, that was terrific, you should put that on at lunchtime in the student theatre, and I did. And everyone said, well, that is terrific. And, you know, I kind of went, this is what I do. I just had that moment. Mm. So I really, you know, set about learning about it while I was at university, directed lots of student productions, acted in them, did publicity, did everything, ended up at NIDA, and I've been directing ever since.
NIDA.
Amazing.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So that's actually like a lot of the stories that we hear. It's like it just kind of happened, or they just sort of like zombie walked into it, where it's like they couldn't stop themselves from discovering it and continuing going with it.
Yeah. And you know, I've had a few children too, which is, you know, slightly unusual in my field, because, you know, it is hard to juggle the hours and the children, and I've had them quite spread out. And I did have that moment after my third child of going, oh, you know, maybe I should try and find something else. But no, I found myself back in the theatre again.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Melbourne Opera.
Yeah.
Is this your first with them?
No, I've directed... I actually don't know how many productions I've directed.
Because you've actually been on talking about Melbourne Opera here on this show before.
Before. So, I directed a show for Melbourne Opera in 2013, then nothing for a while, and then I've directed almost everything for the last couple of years. So the whole Donizetti Tudor trilogy,
right,
I've directed all of the Wagner operas that they've been having a lot of success with lately.
And who are Melbourne Opera, if people don't know?
So Melbourne Opera is it's a wonderful group of artists who have come together, a lot of them Victorian-based opera artists. You know, there was the great demise of opera in the 90s when the Victorian State Opera was merged with Opera Australia, and pretty quickly it became apparent that it was more of a takeover than a merge. And so being a great kind of opera city like we are, we've really been a bit, you know, at sea finding our way into performance opportunities. And Melbourne Opera was born out of the vision of people like Greg Hocking, Hugh Halliday, Margaret Haggart, Roger Howell, Geoffrey Harris, all these wonderful sort of people who've been involved as singers and artists and producers and directors of opera, and created a company that was really championing the local artists and also performing repertoire works. And Melbourne Melbourne Opera has made an interesting shift since around about the time since I have been there, and that's not so much to do with me, but just a direction the company's gone in, is really exploring forgotten work too, so doing some really unusual repertoire. And it's interesting to see how much of the unusual repertoire we've been doing is now starting to sneak into
mainstream.
Yep. You know, like I said, we did the whole Donizetti Tudor trilogy, and now Opera Australia are rolling that out from this year onwards.
Wow.
They've got, we produced Lohengrin 2 years ago, and it's in the Opera Australia season next year.
And do you think that is because they're such a huge organisation and the weight of them going Australia-wide and all that, that it's the obvious things have to do it because of the cost and all that, where a niche opera company like this one, you can be a little bit more challenging to an audience?
Yeah, exactly. And interestingly, the audiences are seizing it because they are so, you know, often exposed to what we call the top 10 in the opera world, the Marlowe M and the Traviata.
Yeah, because you do get, you do get sick of seeing the, you know, like, and you go, oh, here it comes again.
And we just find these are wonderful operas,
these
forgotten operas. And they also can help kind of fill in the gaps in terms of development of opera for those who are really interested in that too. So, it's
awesome.
So it's operating at a very highly professional level with fully professional singers, orchestra, all of the artists, but we put our money on the stage and not so much into the administration.
Yeah.
So tell us about Norma, because I don't know about this opera.
Okay, so Norma is considered the masterpiece of the bel canto period, and it was written by, there were three major bel canto composers, Donizetti, Rossini and Bellini, and this one is composed by Vincenzo Bellini. It is one of the most difficult operas to sing that you can imagine, and it's rarely performed because it's very difficult to find artists who are actually capable of performing it. And so we're extremely lucky and blessed to have the three principal artists that we have available all at the same time to be here. So Helena Dix is a wonderful Australian soprano who's now based in the UK, but she's been working almost exclusively with the Met for the last couple of years, and she actually understudied the role at the Met.
Whoa.
Sang at rehearsals, she's sung concert performances, but hasn't built a character from scratch herself. This is her debut in the role on stage in a production. So people are weeping in rehearsals. The beauty of that voice, the Casta Diva, the finale, it's deeply moving. It's amazing. Then we also have, so we have two great Aussie expats. So Helena, who's living in London, and also Samuel Sacker, a really, really talented young tenor who was accepted into the Royal Opera House Yetta Parker program and has had a really, really fantastic career since he relocated over to the UK. And he's back singing with us in the role of Pollione, role debut for him. And then also the really, really well-loved, highly respected and extraordinarily talented Jackie Dark, whom opera fans would know, big stalwart with Opera Australia and many of the great companies, is singing the role of Adelgisa. So it's a really stellar principal cast.
But the annoying thing about it is all this time and effort you put in, four nights.
I know.
Come on.
I know. Well, you know, well, one thing.
Well, the cost, isn't it?
There's the cost, because it's not like putting on a play.
No.
And it doesn't have the same. Also, we can't perform night after night like a musical. We really need at least 2 days break between each performance because it is
so taxing.
It's so taxing. And you know, people are always amazed. They go, oh, they sing it without microphones. How do they do that? You know, the orchestra, the whole, bringing the whole kind of package together is quite huge. But, you know, there's a reasonable number of seats in the Athenaeum Theatre for people to come along to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. So when is it on?
So we open on September the 17th and we have four performances. It's September 17th, 19th,
21's
a matinee and 24. And then also the other thing is we are blessed to have these artists available and they're pretty much jumping on planes straight away afterwards and heading off to all sorts of other jobs.
And again, makes it really unique, doesn't it? Because, you know, like you're bringing an opera that we don't know all that well, and it's a short season, and with these brilliant people on stage, you know, like we've got to thank Melbourne Opera for you know, like being so courageous.
Oh, and it's an extraordinary opportunity to get to direct something like this. And it's a fascinating story because it really hits home for people. Now, it's very much about the personal versus the political for a strong female character.
Yeah.
So she's had a love affair that's basically dissipated, we think largely due to the fact that the clash of power between herself and the man who she was in love with, who is the leader of the Roman invading force of ancient Gaul, of which she is a high priestess.
Yeah.
And the way we're kind of viewing the story is because this incredible clash of these two wills, this kind of power, which way are we going to go? Is he going to become a Gaul? Will she become a Roman? It's an impossible situation. So he then turns his attention and affection to a younger priestess who's more kind of, I guess, he thinks is going to be easier to woo. And the complicating factor is that Norma is meant to be a chaste high priestess, but she has been seduced by this very, very handsome Roman, and they have produced two children, and she's been secretly raising these children throughout the opera. And we arrive right in the tipping point where everything comes out, and the whole story that unfolds, if you were putting it in a real timeline, in less than 24 hours of her discovering he really doesn't love her anymore, that there's another woman, all of the ways that she reacts to that and how she can use her power and how she chooses maybe not to use her power and how it all ends. So it's a very dramatic roller coaster.
But that is opera.
It is.
Opera
is the art form of catastrophe.
Yes.
Drama.
And what's it called again?
The opera.
Norma. And is presented by?
Melbourne Opera.
And where is it?
At the Athenaeum Theatre.
And it's the 17th, 19th, 21st and 24th of September. Tickets still available?
Yeah, through Ticketek. So it's easy. Get online, look up Melbourne Opera website and you can click through or onto Ticketek. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you for coming in.
Lovely to see you again.
And Aniela, and please go back and tell... Well, you pretty much exclusively do all their stuff now, don't you?
Not exclusively, but I'll be back for another one next year.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
You're on Joy.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.